It's hard to get away from the fact that today is Earth Day. It's been in the media so much that some of the commentators on television have said it should be Earth Week, not just Earth Day today, because so much has been made of this particular day in our calendar. May we not forget that it is actually the Lord's Day today. But as we think of Earth Day, I want to tell you that I really believe, as I have contemplated this fact of Earth Day, that it is a retreat from and a desertion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may say, well, Denny, aren't you concerned about our environment? And I can say wholeheartedly, yes, I am very concerned about our environment. And I don't want you to get me wrong, but I want to say this in conjunction with Earth Day, that the best anti-pollution program possible is service to the living God. It's interesting that the prophet Isaiah tells us in no uncertain terms that pollution comes from sin. And that's all kinds of pollution. It was one evening, I guess, in our household, we talked about the fact that the third commandment says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And that commandment is expounded in our catechism by telling us that the third commandment forbids the profaning or abusing of all that whereby God makes himself known. And because God makes himself known through the creation, when we drive down the road and blithely throw whatever it is out the car window, that's a violation of the third commandment because we are abusing the earth created by the living God through which he makes himself known. Unfortunately, Earth Day brings us not to a worship of the living God, but to a worship of Mother Earth, a worship of the creature rather than the Creator, who is to be blessed forever. And it is a retreat from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think this is the whole point in our text this morning in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." In the end, I want to zero in on verse 17 this morning. But to understand verse 17, let's get the context. The broader context in the book of Galatians is the fact that Paul is concerned about a desertion from the gospel. In chapter 1 and verse 6, the apostle Paul says to the church at Galatia, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." That's the broader context. And in the immediate context of verse 17, of course, is verse 16, which gives us a tremendous gospel truth. That truth is, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill, carry out the desire of the flesh. Of course, what the Apostle Paul here is saying is that you will not carry to completion and fulfill the ultimate end of sin. You will not carry it out. The ultimate end of sin is death. Look again at the end of verse 21. Paul says, "I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Let's not be fooled here. That when there are certain sins which we practice and we carry them out to their logical conclusion, they carry us away from the kingdom of God. And that means death. But Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. In other words, and this is review again, in other words, God has given to us His Spirit-inspired Word. And when we walk by that Word, we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Let me give you a quick example. Jesus says, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Now that's a Spirit-inspired Word, folks. Now, one of the things that Caesar tells us in our land is the speed limit. Now, I know that this doesn't directly apply to any of you, but it applies to me, so I'll use the example. Jesus says to me, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Caesar says to me, "Go 55 miles an hour in this zone." And if I go 65 miles an hour, I am not giving to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I am in disobedience to Christ. Isn't that the truth? When Christ said, that's what I should do. I am not walking by the Spirit. I am doing what I want to do rather than what Christ wants to do. Now that's a very simple illustration of what Paul is talking about, and he's saying, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And it's terribly important for us to do. Why will you not carry out the desire of the flesh? Verse 17 gives us the answer, if you would look at it. For, Paul says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another. You see, what Paul is telling us here is very simple. The flesh and its desires, and the Spirit and its desires are in absolute opposition to one another. They go in totally different directions. And because they are absolute opposites, if you walk by the Spirit, you cannot be carrying out the desire of the flesh. Because they're absolute opposites. And the key word here is the word for. You see, for. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another. You see, at least to this point, it ought to be very simple. Why verse 16 is true. That if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, it seems to me that there is another lesson here. And the lesson comes out of the fact that these two things are opposite. The desire of the flesh and the desire of the Spirit. Because they are opposites and diametrically opposed to one another, they ought not to be confused. And I am afraid that too often, the desire of the flesh is confused with the desire of the Spirit. Look at what Paul says in verses 19 through 21 again. He says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these." Now let's not fall into the trap of believing, for example, that outbursts of anger are the desire of the Spirit. When Paul says very specifically that they are a deed of the flesh. Now that is not to say that I may not come to the place of having a righteous indignation with regards to individuals who do not follow the will of God. But the Bible is very, very clear when it says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And we ought not to confuse the two. And I know very often when I have gone into an outburst of anger, that's exactly what it has been. An outburst of anger, which was a deed of the flesh, of which I needed to repent. So we ought not to confuse the two. Now, I want to ask you a question at this point. What happens when a professing Christian gets confused and retreats from the gospel? What is it that happens? Let me lay a little bit of groundwork here. Under the gospel of grace, under the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is freedom. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Don't retreat from the gospel, Paul is saying. Don't retreat from the freedom which Christ has given you. Because when you retreat, you enter slavery again. Look at Galatians 5, verse 13. Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't retreat. Don't turn back from the freedom which Jesus Christ has given. And this is exactly the problem that the Galatians were facing. It is exactly the problem they were facing. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you are now being perfected in the flesh?" Paul says to them, "You understood the gospel? The Holy Spirit began a work in you? You began to walk following Jesus Christ by the Spirit? Why are you turning back? Why are you retreating now? These people have come into the church and they have said, 'Oh yes, you have to follow the Jewish ceremonies in order to be a Christian.' No! Don't retreat from the gospel. Do you think, having begun by the Spirit, now you're going to work it out yourselves? Is that what's going to happen?" And Paul says, "I am amazed that you have so soon deserted Him." That is Jesus Christ, through whom you have heard the gospel, or who is the gospel. Now comes verse 17 in chapter 5. Here's what I believe happens. Paul says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." And he is saying to these Galatians, if you step back from the gospel and the freedom with which Christ set you free, you are stepping back into a battle. And
onto a battleground where there is going to be defeat, where you will not be able to do that which you please. I want you to get the connection between verses 16 and 17 again. Because Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And this is emphatic. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to sin and stumble once in a while, but you're not going to carry to completion the desire of the flesh. That's what Paul is talking about. And why does Paul say this? He says, for if you step back from that freedom, you're going to find out something very significant. You're going to find out that the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desires against the flesh, and that the two are in such opposition to one another, you will not be able to carry out the things that you wish. You will be stepping back from the freedom with which Christ has set you free into a conflict in which there is defeat. You will be paralyzed, and you will not be able to do the things that you desire. Now, I want to illustrate this point with a story, a true story. A fellow who came to me with his wife, oh, I suppose it was 24 or 25 years ago now, when I was in seminary. And he came to me at Fort MacArthur in San Pedro, California. I was working in the chaplain's office. And this fellow was absent without leave. He was a deserter. He was supposed to be in San Francisco shipping out for Vietnam. And as we sat in that office, his ship was leaving and he wasn't on it. And he knew he should be on that ship, but he was paralyzed. He didn't really know what to do. And he was scared. And there was a struggle going on. He was saying, on one hand, I know I should be up there, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And here he sat with his wife. It's kind of an illustration of the struggle that Paul is talking about in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary to one another, so that you may not do the things that you wish. And an amazing thing took place while we sat there together. I began to talk to this fellow about his sin and about his need for repentance and his need to bow before Jesus Christ. And the lights began to go on in this fellow's mind and heart. And he saw his need of Jesus Christ. And he confessed Christ. Confessed himself as a sinner. We talked for quite a while and prayed together. And it was absolutely amazing to me because as we closed that session together, this young man, having come to grips with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom with which Christ sets us free, he turned to his wife and grabbed her hand and he says, I know what I need to do now. Let's go. And this young fellow who previously had been in bondage, literally, to the law, now experienced a new freedom. He knew that he was still a deserter. He knew that he was still absent without leave. But he knew what the law said, and he said, I am going to serve my Lord in this law. And he found a new freedom. Now, I don't know what happened to that fella, because that's the last I saw of him. All I know is what transpired there. But wouldn't it have been the most stupid thing you can think of for that young man to take a step back from the gospel and from the freedom with which Christ had set him free into that bondage which he previously experienced and in which he was absolutely paralyzed and could not act? You would say that would be absolute stupidity on his part. Yet, dear friends in Christ, that is exactly what we do. And I purposely say we. We readily step back from the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom in which Christ set us free. And we retreat and desert the gospel. And you know what happens? We find ourselves right in the middle of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. And we find the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit. And the Spirit sets its desires against the flesh. And a huge conflict ensues. And we find we can't do what we desire to do. I believe this is exactly the construction that the Apostle Paul is laboring with here. And you know what part of our problem is? Part of my problem? We believe that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 sets out for us the normal Christian life, how it should be. We so easily retreat from the freedom of the gospel that we think that conflict and defeat is normative. And we really believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of defeat in our lives. God forbid it. Walk in the Spirit. Paul says, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Oh yeah, you're going to sin. But you're not going to be on the downward path to defeat where you can't do what God gives you by His Holy Spirit the ability to do. Let me give you another example of this. Ability. It's interesting. It happens in our witnessing all the time, talking to others about Christ. We so readily say, I'm not really able to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. How can I be a witness for Christ? I want to tell you something. If it's absolutely impossible for you to be a witness for Christ, you're not a Christian. Because Jesus says He gives the Holy Spirit to believers so that they are able to be His witnesses. And if your life has not been changed by Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, then obviously you can't be a witness to the work of God. But if your life has been worked over by Jesus Christ, you can be a witness. Just as you can be a witness to an automobile accident which you have seen with your own eyes. I think that's the point. But we so readily retreat from the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we readily forget the power of that gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 16, 17, and 18 again in Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Why? Because those two things are in opposition to one another. If you do the one, you're not going to do the other. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. But if you step back, if you step back from the freedom of the gospel and place yourself in that battle again by denying the gospel and retreating from it, there is going to be battle and there is going to be defeat. Isn't that what verse 17 tells us? For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. You are no longer in bondage to that law. And that's right, because Jesus Christ has set you free. That, my friends, is the glory of the gospel. So let's not retreat, but let's press on in that freedom with which Christ has set us free. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, as we understand how easily it is for us to retreat from the freedom of the gospel, I pray, Father, that you would call us all to repentance and move us forward in that gospel, in that freedom with which Christ has set us free. Grant that blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.